Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you by God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning is taken from the epistle lesson, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. This is our text. It's amazing how much of a mess we can make of some of God's best gifts. It is. I have said, standing here to you on Sunday mornings, a few times, about how God even makes wonderful stuff out of garbage. Pure and simple garbage. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is go to the grocery store. The grocery store proves how much God takes spoiled, rotten, nasty stuff and converts it into wonderful things. What is yogurt, if not completely and totally spoiled milk? Spoiled in a wonderful way. Coagulated. I know you don't like to hear that word about something that you like to eat, but really, it's coagulated, cultured. I love the word. It's cultured. No, it's got boogums and all that in them. Little beasties, little microorganisms that have already chowed down on the lactose and the proteins thereof and create yogurt. And do I have to go? Well, the Kroger I go to, they have a whole big cheese counter. And what's that but not yogurt on steroids? And not just one strain, but the different kind of little microorganistic beasties and everything else, all the different kinds that have eaten the milk, and I'm sorry if this offends you, but poops out the good cheese. So it takes all different kinds. You got the cheddar, you got the Edam, you got the Roquefort, you got my favorite, the good old German Munster. Yeah, good old German bacteria and yeast and everything else that has eaten it. And speaking of yeast, do we even have to mention what happens when yeast gets at things like fruit and grains? We wouldn't have bread, biscuits, and all that if it wasn't for the yeast eating all of that and giving us those wonderful things. And if it goes after fruit and everything else, well, dear friends, that's how we get cider and mead and wine, especially the good hard stuff. Oh, and I can't forget German Lutherans, beer. So like I said, God even takes complete and total garbage and makes it wonderful things for us. And no truer is it than in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And how God had given to that group of Christians in that incredibly pagan, heathen multiplex of Corinth the gifts of all of their teachers, all of their pastors, all of their evangelists, and they were turning it into weapons to use against each other. Incidentally, to let you know that I actually think these things out, that's the reason why the sermon hymn today is the sermon hymn. It's not the one that supposedly suggested for this Sunday. And I did just put that in to help remind you of when you were about that big, and it probably was the first Christian song you learned in Sunday school or Bible class or vacation Bible school or whatever. I mean, it is all that. But because of the gift of that simple two-verse song was turned into something that people would beat Pastor Ray Bowles over the head with. And that's because Whenever they had something at St. John, not just the school, not just the church, but the school, whenever they would purposefully have a class that would come in and sing a hymn during Sunday worship, you know, that's a nice little old-fashioned Lutheran way of getting all these kids that aren't members of the church into the church with their moms and pops, hoping that that would become a habit. Well, whenever they did that, whether it was kindergartners all the way up to the 7th or 8th grade, Pastor Bowles would always insist that one of the songs in the service be Jesus Loves Me, because he knew the kids knew it. All of them knew it. From school, from the midweek Wednesday chapels and everything else. But what they didn't like was that when that song came up, Pastor Bowles wouldn't be sitting in one of the chairs up here in the chancel. He'd get right over here, and all the kids were always on this side in the first few pews. And while we were singing the song, when it came to the chorus, he would go, "All right, here it comes. Yes, Jesus." He made them shout it. He cheered them on. "Yes, Jesus loves me. Yeah." This was the face of a lot of the adults. He had them shouting in church. Yeah. Yeah. Because who else would sing that song with the conviction and the love giving back that was given to them in Jesus? Now, say it was used as a club to try to, "Pastor, do you have to do that?" To which that little man who weighed like 90 pounds soaking wet and was only like 5'5", he would come back and he goes, "Yes, I have to do that." "Why, Pastor, why?" And he goes, and this is literally what he said, "Because if I didn't do that, the concrete blocks that the church were made of would scream it even louder." God has given us so many wonderful things. And yet still, as Paul says, oftentimes we are more earthly than we are spiritual and misuse them. Because yes, he does give us those wonderful things. He does give us the yogurt and the cheese and the bread and the beer and the wine and everything else. And we become gluttons and soaked wicks. He gives us the families that we have and the friends that we have. And, well, we just said it again. Even dear Dr. Martin Luther put it into the catechism in talking about confession. And if you don't know what your sins are, remember, consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Don't you see almost a joke in that? God gives you those wonderful positions to be part of a family, to be part of society, to be part of good, wholesome relationships. And we use them to sin against each other. Parents don't act like parents. Children are openly disobedient and snide. Workers try to get by with as little as possible. Owners try to get by with paying their workers as little as possible and giving them no respect. Friends use friends. That's what we do. And so it's not really all that striking that in that congregation in Corinth, so new to the faith of God, so new to being recreated, and no longer being part of the world, but just being in the world, that they would use that over and against each other to beat them over the heads. "I follow Paul. I follow Apollos." They probably even also had someone. "I follow Aquila," you know, and his wife Priscilla. It's silly. That would be like at a church that had more than one pastor. It was sort of like, "Well, this guy is my pastor. Pastor Mark is my pastor. Pastor Bob, no, you can have him." That has happened. I have personal living reason for that. The first church I was assigned to as a vicar, you know, as a pastor in training, intern. Sunday morning, people would walk up to that little to that church in Florida. And I remember the day. Family walked up and the father went up to me because I was the vicar. I had no power. I had no authority, but I knew things. And he goes, "Who's preaching today?" And I said, "Well, it's Pastor Mark Baring." And he goes, "Oh, come on, kids, we're going home." What? And the wife literally said, "Why?" And he goes, "Oh, I don't want to hear him today." And she and loved the wife. She goes, "Well, then sit in the car." And she grabbed the two kids and walked in. Goes to show you, just like also said, mama is boss. The man may be head of the house, but mama's boss. That's what we do. But thanks be to God that even when we do those silly things, even when we misuse those smaller gifts of God, there's also forgiveness. Because as Paul reminds them, it's not, he didn't save them. Apollos didn't save them. No pastor, no teacher saves anyone. It's God that does that. Goodness gracious, if Paul had heard about speaker systems, microphones, loudspeakers, synthesizers, and everything else, he probably would have said, "What am I but a bunch of wires and a cone and a little bit of electricity to get the message out?" He did say that God gives us the gifts of the gospel in broken vessels. And Paul would point out each and every crack in the pot that he was, but that God still allowed him to contain those blessings and pour them out whenever he could possibly and wherever he could possibly do it. And that not only goes for the smaller gifts, but for the bigger ones as well. Because you have to remember that first, greatest, and all-encompassing gift of God is the forgiveness, is the salvation that comes to us free and clear, already bought and paid for, because it was accomplished by Christ. You know that. I know that. I don't need to tell you that brand new. And in fact, if I were to tell you that as brand new, you probably wouldn't be sitting here. I'd have to grab you in a grocery store or in line at the DMV or the post office or outside while I was cutting my grass and somebody came by and let their dog just go right in front of the lawnmower. I'm saying that because I've known dogs that as soon as they hear a lawnmower, that's the first thing they do. It scares the out of them. But you already know that that first gift that we have, that greatest gift that we have, is the one we've already espoused belief, faith, sure confidence in, that the Lord sent His Son and lived that pure and perfect life for us. And then when the time was right, when He had accomplished everything else, He took our sins, our burdens, our failures, our diseases, our sorrows and cares on that cross. And in bleeding out His last drop of blood, in shouting out His last breath, in living His last moments, He destroyed them all. So that we would not only have no debt to pay, no curse to live over and above, no want to ever worry about not receiving, but we receive His life and His reward and His place in heaven. Because we are made what He already was, the heir and rightful owner of heaven itself. That's that first and wonderful gift. And even when we discount that, even when we for some reason, by ignorance, by sheer pain of suffering, or by neglect, discount that gift in thinking that it's not enough, that it's not as pervasive, that it's not as glorious, that it doesn't cover everything. Well, guess what, my friends? He doesn't take it away. And in fact, he finds a way to lovingly throw it back into our faces so that we cannot ignore it. So that hopefully we can see his love, his grace, his peace, new and wonderful and all pervasive once again. Because it's only God that can do those things. It's only God who would love us that much. It is only God who could take and fulfill what Jesus himself says. That we can sin against him, well, take your pick, either 66 times, 60 times 6 times, no, is it 77 times, 70 times 7. Or you see, there's another variant in that translation of Greek. 70 times 70 times. If you want to figure that out, that's 4,900, by the way. And you know as well as I do, if you try to count that high, you'll lose track. And you'll have to start all over again. Well, God can keep track. And it doesn't matter when you hit 4,901. The forgiveness is still there. The gift is still ours. Because Jesus came as that God-made man to be the substitute for us. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.